Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And I greet you in that precious name of Jesus Christ, the one who is able to give comfort. We're here together this morning to give encouragement and to give comfort to the family the best that we are able. But even with all our comfort and encouragement that we can bring in together, there is nothing that exceeds the comfort and grace and mercy of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd also like to thank you on behalf of Leon and the family for being here, for your support that you show in coming. And there's something special about that. We know that death is real, it's final, and there's a separation that takes place. But I also believe that by this gathering, there can be even a start of healing for Brother Leon, Jason, and Arlene. Sarah is one who passed through many difficult times. We know that. But I do believe by her testimony that she lived life the best that she could. And she had a way of expressing appreciation, especially for Leon, Jason, and Arlene, and even her siblings, for Manny and John and Henry and Linda. And Linda, there's something that Sarah did for you that I think was very special in baking that cake in one of the last days of her life. It was her way of expressing appreciation for what you meant to her. Sorrow and grief are not easy things to face. But we know that there are things in life that often cause us to grieve, and we would avoid them if we at all could. But we know that even Jesus wept at times, and we know that many times he would go to his Father in prayer and just simply pour out his heart. Jesus and the Father had a very close relationship as one. And also knowing Leon, through the trials that he faced, the struggles that he went through, had a way of bringing him very close to his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through these hard times, I believe, that God can teach us things that we would otherwise not learn. And there were times when Leon shared these things. If I had not passed through some of these experiences, I wouldn't have learned the lessons in life that God would have wanted me to learn. And if we are sensitive to what God would have us to learn through these experiences, I believe it helps us to grow in a personal relationship with God our Father, the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and also to grow in wisdom as we accept the hard things in life. Brother Leon, you have brothers in the congregation who have walked through somewhat the same experience. Brother Jake, Brother John, Brother Abby, Brother Ivan, and also Brother Ben Lapp. And I think they can be a tremendous encouragement to you as you pass through this time of grieving. Also, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Elmer and Susie for your time and your support in the last days of Sarah's life. That meant a lot to us as a church, and I'm sure it meant a lot to the family. I'd like to read John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's four things that I'd like to just glean from this passage here. One is that death is real. There's a separation that takes place. And also, from this passage, we believe that there is heaven. Heaven, a home for the redeemed. Also, from this passage, we can gather that for those who desire to enter into the kingdom, into heaven as its final destiny, there needs to be salvation that takes place. And also from this passage, we can see that there is coming a day when Christ will return. The death of a neighbor, a friend, a sister, or a loved one, it brings us face to face with eternity. It reminds us that death here, or life here, is fleeting. Life is just a passing experience through our entering into heaven itself. Eternity is before us. And for each of us, we need to face this in reality. We need to face this honestly, to realize that there's coming a day when I will be the one in a coffin and then be buried. That's reality for all of us if Christ doesn't return in the meantime. And I think the sooner that we accept this, the better we understand the reality of what death is all about. Death to us means glory to a believer in Christ. And as we read here in John chapter 14, Jesus going to prepare mansions for those who have accepted him as Savior. What is in store for the one who knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and passes from this life? And I've titled the message simply, Far Better. Philippians gives us the testimony of the Apostle Paul. We know much about the Apostle Paul and the suffering and trials that he went through in life. But he had a testimony that I think is good for us to think about. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And we know that after Paul became converted, Paul was interested to live his life as a Christian, to go about preaching the gospel. It was the very essence of his life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also believed that after his passing, he would go to be with Christ. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And that's where I gleaned the title for the message. What does Paul mean when he says far better? What is something that is far better than what we experience here? You can't really put any limitations on something that is far better. But Paul says, in departing from this life, there is something in store for the believer which is far better. Well, what is all of that? Well, sometimes we need to let our imaginations run a bit. We also have many promises in the Word of God that help us to understand some things that are far better. We believe this morning that Sarah is in a far better place than she ever was in this life. We believe that Sarah has a body now free from all suffering, free from any mental anguish. Sarah is in the presence of God and of Jesus, her Savior, far better than what we can experience in this life. Even as you think of the things that are a blessing to us today, things that we cherish, if we reach glory, it will be far better than the best that we could experience here in life. I believe Sarah is also free from temptations and from thoughts that she struggled with many times. She's free from having these feelings of being down and then coming up again. She's free of all of that, and it is far better. But I want to be clear here. There is also a side of eternity that will be far worse for the unbeliever. And so we must choose carefully in this life that what the Bible teaches concerning the new birth. We must be born again. We must believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life unto the Father. We must believe that in order for us to experience something that is far better. 2 Corinthians speaks to us of what it will be like to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon which our house which is from heaven. And if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident that knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it will be good or bad. another thing that is going to be far better. Today we see our Savior through the eyes of faith. We have the indwelling Spirit within ourselves. We are the temple of the living God. Tremendous blessing to know all of this. Tremendous blessing to have the assurance of salvation, knowing that when we depart from this life, we will ever be with the Savior. But can you think? Imagine with me, how much better will it be when we see God, Jesus, at his right hand, and we will see him face to face. What a blessing, what a glory that will be. And not only that, I believe around the throne of God will be believers from all ages past who are praising and glorifying his name. The angels will be there, which will be far better than any congregation, any gathering that we can have here in church or anywhere else. Far better when we will be with all the saints around the throne of God, singing and praising him throughout all eternity. Far better, brothers and sisters. May we encourage each other to live our lives in expectation of all of that. It will be far better, I can assure you. Today we have the blessing of knowing Jesus as our Savior, and we believe by faith. We also have the confidence and the blessing of knowing that when we depart, we shall see him face to face. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 50 through 58, 2 Corinthians 15. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 5. No wonder I can't find it. Verses 50 and 58. There's no 2 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians. Something there that I wanted to point out. 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to have to leave that one. I can't find the reference. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. Thank you. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And also in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I believe that there will be rewards given for those that have passed through difficult times, struggles in this life, and through their faithfulness in God through those times. Today, we sorrow for the passing of Sister Sarah, but we sorrow not as others who have no hope. And the hope that we have for Sarah is what can be an encouragement to all of us, and especially to the family. We have the assurance by the word of God that Sarah, upon her confession of faith, today is with her Savior Jesus Christ. Sarah had trusted Jesus as her personal Savior from sin. There were times that she was struggling with depression, and she was concerned about her Bible reading and prayer. Times when she was so weak that she couldn't even accomplish that. Once when Brother Leon asked her about this, she said that she's claiming the promises found in the poem, Footprints in the Sand. And I believe she realized that she was in the Savior's arms during that time, and there was only one set of footprints in the sand because of Jesus carrying her through this difficult time. Brother Leon, different times, talked about the good memories he had with Sarah. And one of the highlights for the family was the camping trips that were planned around the birthdays, where each one chose where they would go on their birthday. She was also one who, she liked to spring surprises on Leon. One time when Leon forgot an evening wedding reception and was planning on working in the shop, Sarah told him that they will be going out for supper and did not tell him where they were going. And it was not until the last few turns that she was giving him that he remembered what was planned. Sarah was also one who, she was very patient, and she had some tact with all of that. Sometimes it took patience on her part to get Leon to do the things that she asked for. One time she told him that one of the dresser drawers don't close. Would he come and look at what's wrong? And he pushed it in and out a few times and not finding anything wrong. And with a puzzled look, he turns to see her laughing. Then he realized that he was neglecting to close it when he was finished getting his things out. There's also good memories that we have as a church concerning Leon and Sarah. One was when they served on the food committee. When Sarah was well, they put their all into that, and things got done. Especially toward the last of her life, she had a unique way of expressing her love to Brother Leon. When Leon would take her for ECT treatments, dialysis treatment, just her simple way of showing appreciation was to say thank you. Sometimes that was about all that she could accomplish to say. Also, in the last days in the hospital, when Leon would go in, she would take his hand and hold it tight, an expression of love to her husband. And even at one point, she took his hand, hold him toward her, and puckered her lips. Just an expression of love. To you, Brother Leon, you have been an example to me personally, and also to the congregation. I've heard it many times, your faithful support and care for Sarah during her low times, and your much patience toward her when she was feeling well. Sarah was one, my wife and I talked about this, we never heard her criticize her husband. We never heard her say anything in a negative way about her husband. And this is a tremendous trait that Sarah had. Psalm 23 was a special psalm to Leon and Sarah. Leon personally told me that there were times when Sarah was low, he was feeling lonely. And even went to bed with those feelings. But he said what helped him through was when he would lay his head on the pillow and he would recite Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. What a shepherd to have who knows us personally by name. And also the blessing that we can have in knowing Jesus as our Savior, known of mine. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sometimes in life, to bring us closer to our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ, it calls for some disruption. Sometimes it means that God wants our attention. We have been too busy. We have been going here and there. We have been involved in work and are not taking enough time for Bible reading, for prayer, and for a good relationship with our Father. And he brings something to pass where we may not be able to go to work. We may find ourselves laid up. And I believe oftentimes it's those times when we can have the experience as children of God to come closer and to realize this is really what we need. And we must also always remember, it's God who leadeth us beside the still waters. That's where we can find peace and rest. That's where we can come back to knowing what it is to have a relationship with our Father. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I believe when we put our trust in God and allow him to lead us, it brings us back to where our soul is again restored. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think of that, dear brothers and sisters. To be able to experience in this life, as we walk through the shadow of death, we have no need to fear, for God is there. He is the one who comforts. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A willingness to trust our God as we read this psalm, and as it becomes personal for us, as the poem goes, as someone wrote, I'm not sure who wrote this, Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. We believe that heaven is a real place. We believe that in order for us to reach heaven, we must pass through the gate of death. But for Sarah, today, heaven for her is her eternal home. As the saying goes, today we call it heaven, tomorrow we call it home. It's a prepared place. It's for a place only for those that have prepared their lives in this life here. We also know, according to the Bible, that it will be a perfect place and we will be at home with the Father. Salvation is needed for us to experience not only the freedom from sin here, not only to experience peace and rest in having our sins forgiven, but it also gives us assurance for that eternal home. It means reunion, a uniting together with our Savior and with our God in that eternal home, and also with those that have gone on before. It means comfort for today in knowing that our sins have been washed and cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In closing, how good is the God we adore, how faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as good as his power, and knows neither measure nor end, till Jesus, the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home, will praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. And I wish that upon you, Brother Leon, Jason, Arlene, and your family. Sarah was one who loved her children. She loved her 7 grandchildren. Sometimes it was difficult for her to express this, but in being with her numerous times, it was not hard to understand. She looked forward to the trips to Kansas. Sometimes it was difficult for her to work through all of that, She also appreciated you, Ella, and your children. When you came, different times she talked about that. For Ella, you know what it's like to pass through this experience. Now being 2.5, 3 years since David has passed. May God bless you real good, keep you in his care, give you comfort and grace as you pass through this difficult time. Let's stand for a word of prayer.